shook her head. I don't know.
In the cockpit, Kaufman yelled, You're going to stall out! Christopher didn't reply. The tech guys needed the nose aimed at the missile, and the missile was rising fast. She eased the lumbering 747's nose up, up, hoping they had enough airspeed to avoid a stall. She'll drop like the Rock of Gibraltar if she goes into a stall, Christopher thought. The plane was still vibrating, jouncing along on three engines and a shredded wing. Come on, baby, you can do it. Just hold it for a few seconds more. Got it, Kaufman yelped. Another orange-red blossom of fire bloomed where the missile's exhaust plume had been. We hit it, Christopher agreed. She had a crazy impulse to lean over and plant a kiss on Kaufman's round cheek. Instead, she let the control yoke slide forward, and the plane's nose eased down. We did it, Kaufman said, his voice hollow with wonder. We shot both the bastards down.
We sure as hell did.
Kaufman broke into a major league grin. Let's get this old bus back to Misawa, said Christopher. If we can. Christopher started a right turn, away from the coast. O'Banion called, Uh-oh. Colonel, you'd better listen to this. I repeat, American 747, said a steely male voice in her headphone. Do not try to escape. You will follow us to DPRK Air Base and land there, or we will shoot you down. The Pentagon, Situation Room. Brad Scheib pressed his hand against the earbud. Karen's voice sounded strained, tense in the tiny speaker. He saw all the others in the room staring at him and knew he couldn't say aloud what he wanted to tell her. I got you into this mess, Karen. I didn't know you'd be flying the plane. I didn't know you'd be on the hot seat. Don't get yourself killed, honey. Come back to me. Come back. What's happening? General Higgins demanded, red-faced. They got the first missile, Scheib said. Higgins broke into a happy grin. Zuri Coggins murmured, Thank God. Then Scheib heard, Jesus Christ! We've been hit, Karen's voice. Scheib felt the blood draining from his face. What is it? Coggins asked. What's wrong? The interceptor hit them, Scheib said. Where? How bad? Shut up, Scheib snapped. He heard Karen yell, Fire extinguishers, Obi. Pull her up. Trying. Scheib listened, sweat beading his brow as the others in the Situation Room clustered around him. Even the academic from NIC got up from his chair and slowly walked up the table toward him. Close off that tank, Karen shouted. Shift to the tanks that haven't been punctured. Oh my God, Scheib thought. She's going down. They've shot her down. Leveling out, a man's voice. Must be the co-pilot. Somebody in the room shouted, Look, they've launched the other missile. Scheib looked up at the wall screen. The last of the three missiles was rising up from its pad on a plume of flame. He heard Karen say, Let's do what the man says, Obi. Get the nose up, if we can. The satellite image of the North Korean missile launch was grainy, but everyone in the suddenly stuffy, hot Situation Room could see the missile climbing through a thin layer of cloud, its trajectory beginning to arc slightly, the bright tail of rocket exhaust curving as the missile rose. You're going to stall out, the co-pilot bawled. Scheib's guts clutched inside him. They're all staring at me as if I can make it all right, as if I can do something, say something. Come on, he pleaded with Karen silently. Come on. Got it. We did it, she said. We hit it. The co-pilot sounded halfway delirious.